Ian, could you bring up the first slide, please? Why are we here? Last week we looked at the question of where did we come from, and Angus helped us to understand through God's word that we are created. We are not here by chance. But in our world today, most people actually are learning or believing that we actually are here by complete random chance. And if you believe that you're here by chance, then the question, why am I here, is a really difficult question to answer. In fact, many people today have even stopped asking the question because the question is too difficult to answer. Why am I here? What's the point? Let's not even bother thinking about it. But in this psalm that we've just read, there is a different answer. This very same question is asked by King David. He asks the question, what is man? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? If you don't know where you're going, frankly, any road can get you there. But if you know who you are, you know why you're here, you know where you should be going, then there's only one road, and that's the road of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? That is what he's thinking as he's looking up at the stars. When you look up at the stars, and one of the brilliant things about living in the Highlands is that you can look up at the stars. When you look up in London, you don't see much at all, really, because of all the other lights. But here you can see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stars. And you ever ask the question, why? Do you not feel so small sometimes? Do you feel really small when you look up at all these stars? Maybe you've been in an airplane and you're flying in to the airport and you can see all the houses. And you think, I'm just one person in all these houses, in all these cities, and I'm so small, I'm so insignificant. Does it really matter? What is man that you are mindful of him, God? The son of man that you care for him. And the first point that I want to make is that we are known and loved by God. So the purpose of life, these four things, is to know God, to display God, to work for God, and to worship and praise God. But the second, the third, and the fourth can't be done unless we actually know him. Can we actually know God? Well, in Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. When we look at the stars, we think, God. When we look at a newborn baby, and we've had a newborn baby recently in the church, and you see everything perfect. I love to be able to put my little pinky out and for the baby to put their grip around the pinky. It's a wondrous thing. And just to see all that, and you had a sense of wow. My mother told me that the day my brother was born was the day she saw my father kneel and begin to pray. A sense of awe, a sense of wonder, a sense of God. So we see the stars, we think, God. We see a newborn baby, we think, God. The answer, why are we here, is God. And that's a completely radically different answer to the answer that people are telling us in the world today. People say, well, the answer is me, is to somehow evolve ourselves to become a better and more filled person. But how can we know this God? How can we love this God? How can we know him and love him. Well, if we read the first chapter of Genesis, we can see that in comparison to all the other creation stories, and there are many creation stories across the world, the Genesis story is totally unique. It's totally unique for this reason, is that God doesn't need us. God is not lonely. He doesn't create us out of a sense of loneliness. He doesn't create us out of a sense of need. He doesn't create us so that we can be his slaves. He creates us because he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loved us before we were born. He loved us before he created the earth. The reason we're here is because God loves us, because he delights in us. When he made us, he was really, really happy. As a father or a mother, you look on your child and you delight in them. As God looks on us, he delights in us. And he delights in us even though he knows that we will fail him. Even though he knows he will let us down. He created us knowing in advance that we would fail. But he still created us all the same. He prepared Jesus, his son, to die on the cross before he even created the world. I'll tell you later why he did that. But perhaps you're here this morning and life is not going well. Things are beginning to fall apart. And maybe they've been falling apart for a long time. And you're thinking, where's my life going? Why am I here? The first thing you need to understand is right now, God loves you. God cares for you. God is mindful of you. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he still loves you. When everyone else gives up on you, God will welcome you in. The second reason why we are here is to display his character. It says in Genesis that we are created in the image of God. We're created to image him. Again, the answer is God. Why are we here? To display God to the world. What does it mean to display God? What does it mean? Well, the psalm tells us, the psalm begins and ends with these words, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalm finishes, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Perhaps you've looked at a sunset. Perhaps you've looked at a newborn baby and you've tried to find words for it. It's nice, it's great, just doesn't seem to do it. You know, maybe a word like it's majestic, or a new word for you perhaps, it's glorious. The word is glory. And in the Bible, when people encounter God and discover what he's like, the word they use is glory. So when Isaiah is in the temple and the angels come and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Holiness is about God's unique beauty. And when that is made known, it's glory. You see, God has set his glory in the heavens. That means that we can see it. See, the word glory, the glory of God, it doesn't mean to beautify. To glorify is not to beautify. You can't make God any more beautiful than he is, but you can make him known. And to describe God is really difficult. There are no words to describe God. You have to see him. You have to see him. You have to see his qualities. You have to see. So we look at the stars. We look at his creation, and we see his qualities. We see his great power. We see his great design. And we look at human beings, and we see that they can do glorious things. Adam and Eve were created to display God. Israel was planted to display God to the nations around. The church was founded to be a light to the world, so that people would give glory to God. Let your light shine before all people, that people may see God and give glory to him. That's what it means to be an image of God. But the sad thing is that rather than reflecting God, we have become obsessed with ourselves. So if you like, if to image God is to reflect his beauty, his quality to those around us. But instead we get focused on the mirror. We say, aren't we fantastic? Aren't we great? Rather than saying, isn't God great? We say, aren't we great? And that's the root of the problem of humanity. It's when we put ourselves at the center, when we put ourselves on the throne, and we do not reflect. You see, you may go into a beautiful building. Maybe you go to the Vatican City and you see these amazing ceilings, and if you were to look up, you would get a sore neck. So you use these mirrors to see the beautiful ceiling. But if you come out and start talking about how great the mirror is, then you've kind of missed the point. The selfie is very, very popular today, isn't it? The selfie. And we put on a phone to take a this is because my children, they borrow my phone, and they've got much better skills than me with the phone, and they leave it in the settings, and I miss the picture because I'm trying to put the settings back. But the setting is always on selfie mode. And I'm trying to take a picture of this beautiful sunset, and it's actually got a picture of me, and I'm going, I don't want this, I want that. And we need to have our vision focused in the right place. If you want to root this in Scripture, the Scripture is Romans 1 and verse 20, that through God's creation, he made himself known. But instead of worshiping the Creator, we worshiped created things. We worship ourselves. We worship the things we have made. The things which were supposed to be reflectors, we end up worshiping them. So we are to know that he loves us and to love him in return. Not only to know him, but to enjoy him. And we are to display his character. The Apostle Paul said, always Christ will be magnified in my life. Or even in my death, I want God to be displayed. I want God to be exalted. I want God to be magnified. And remember, it's not like a microscope where something which is small we make great. It's something which is great that becomes accessible to us, because we're looking at God. So this morning, whatever you're going through in life, do you know that God loves you? And are you looking up to him that you may reflect him to others? The third thing we are called to do, if we want to live a glorious life, a purposeful life, we're not here by chance. We're created by God. Is that we are to work. Work is a gift from God. Again, we look back at God's loving provision in the book of Genesis. God gave us life. He gave us work to do. What does it say in Psalm 8? It says that God doesn't see us as insignificant. He doesn't see us as, yes, he made all the stars, but he made them so that we could enjoy them and that he could enjoy them too. But when he talks about us, he doesn't say, oh, you're just small, you're insignificant, you're just a little worm, you're nothing. He says, no, he made us a little lower than himself. God is great, and he made us a little lower than himself. That is pretty special. He made us in his likeness, and he crowned us with glory and honor. What is this great thing that God has done? He crowns us. That means he gives us authority on earth. He treats us like a king, like a queen. He says, this is my world, and I'm going to give you the privilege and the responsibility of looking after it. That's how special you are in my eyes. That's how much I believe in you. That's how much I'm going to trust you. I'm going to delegate all my authority to you. The psalm says, he crowned us with glory and honor. He made us rulers over the works of God's hands. So to do good work is to do God's work. What does it mean to do God's work? Whether you're working as a cleaner, or you're working as an accountant, or you're working as an engineer, or you're working as a nurse or a doctor, whatever it is, what does it mean to do God's work? Well, it is not to be like a powerful person who's really sort of caught up with their power. It's actually to serve. It's to serve others. It's to be like a king, yes, but to be like a servant king. Because the kings in Israel were always meant to be servants. They were always meant to look after the weak. They were to be particularly getting alongside the vulnerable. If you think of a gardener gives us a great illustration. You get rid of the weeds. You create the conditions for growth and flourishing. And whatever God has called us to do, we are to create environments where human beings can flourish and can grow and can use their gifts. Work is a gift from God, and we are to serve him in his world. So to know him, to reflect him, to work for him. The problem with working is this, that instead of working for God's glory, we work for our own glory. Instead of working so that people will say God is great, we work so that people will say we are great. And we sometimes work for the things that are not important to God. We put our energy and our time in things which ultimately are not really worth it. I was speaking to a golf coach recently, and we had a long chat about spiritual matter. And he said at the end, he says, I'm really sorry, Alistair. He said, we have hardly hit a golf ball, and you've paid all this money. And I said, it's all right. It's only golf. It's like total heresy to him. Only golf? He says, to hit a really good golf shot for some people makes their day. And I said, but compared to what we were talking about, it's only golf. Now, to recover from that one. So, It's only what? That's the question today. It's only what? Will it really matter at the end of time? Are you working for food that spoils, or are you working for things that will endure to eternal life? To know Him, to display Him, to work for Him, to praise Him. Don't worry about the words. They're too small. I know that. I'm going to explain them. To worship God's glorious grace. You see, you were made for an amazing purpose. There is a great answer to why we are here. It's to know Him. It's to display Him. But I've just explained that there's problems with that because we find it difficult to know Him. We cannot see Him. We cannot see Him clearly. Words are not enough. Our purpose is to display Him. But instead of displaying Him and reflecting Him, we end up getting obsessed with the reflector. We don't reflect Him well. Big problem. We're called to work for Him, to care for His creation, to care for justice, to care for the poor. But no, we end up working for ourselves, for our own advancement, for our own comfort, for our own glory. Big problem. What's the solution? The solution is God. God sent His only Son, Jesus, so that we could see Him, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace, full of truth. Jesus perfectly displays the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the perfect reflector of God. He is the exact representation of God's being. And in terms of work, He always did what the Father told Him to do. He never worked for His own glory. He always worked for God's glory. He wasn't lording it over people. He said, that's what the Romans do. He said, no. If you want to become great, you need to become a servant. Just as I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life for you. The glory of God is hard to explain, but we can see it in Jesus. The qualities of God are hard to explain, but we can see it in Jesus. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is patient. He's abounding in love. He is faithful. He is true. He never gives up. He never puts Himself first. And He gives Himself for us as He dies on the cross. If you think of the glory of God as a mountain range, then the peak of Mount Everest is grace. And we see the grace of God, His undeserved love and favor poured out on us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, His Son. Why are we here? We're here to see Jesus so that we can put our trust in God. And whatever your life has been up to this point today, there can be a new beginning. A dawn sunrise is glorious, but a changed life through faith in Jesus is more glorious still. And you can change the direction of your life today by rediscovering why you are here. You can receive God's love today, God's forgiveness, because he died on the cross for you. You can receive a glorious purpose today to become a changed person, a new creation. You know, even as you make your decision right now, I've got news for you. God already knows. He already knows how you're going to answer. Because before the creation of the world, God said, "You are my masterpiece. And I have got glorious work for you to do." Ephesians 2, verse 10. You are my masterpiece. Your life is not pointless. Your life is not purposeless. God loves you. He thinks you're his masterpiece. But he says, "You need my son. You need my son." Can you see what he's done for you? Can you see his great love dying for you on the cross? My old Sunday school teacher said to me, I didn't understand it. I've been working it out for most of my life. I'm 47 years old, and I'm only just beginning to understand it. She said that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The more we enjoy him, the more we will glorify him. The more we glorify him, the more we will enjoy him. Jesus said, "Without me, you cannot do anything. But if you abide in me, you will have a fruitful life." Do you want to have a fruitful life? Put your faith, put your trust in Jesus. Amen.